I don't want to predict this fight, but you know, I'm gonna promise that I can give a good fight, you know, to make people happy, and I just do my best.
He always does his best, but at 42 years old, can Manny Pacquiao really step it up and take on a guy by the name of Errol Spence? Of course, the undefeated lad from Texas, current welterweight title holder, of course, undefeated, having flipped the car about a year and a half ago, flipped the car a few times at 105 miles per hour, something like that. Flew out of the car, bounced on the ground a few times. Of course, I thought there would be residual effects. They have yet to come to surface, because in his last fight, he did look okay. Bottom line is, Errol Spence and Manny Pacquiao, of course, going to hook it up. Pacquiao now, what's he, 62-7, like a couple of draws, 39 KOs, of course, a champion from 112 pounds all the way to 154 pounds. I mean, Manny's done it all. What has Manny not done? Straight up, he hasn't beat a guy like Errol Spence at 42 years old. At that point, at this point in time, we take it to the East Coast and bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, is that a tall order for Manny Pacquiao?
Extremely tall order, especially, like you said, he's 42 years old. It'd be easy. I don't think I'd be going out on a limb saying that the best of Manny Pacquiao's career is behind him, you know, but Manny Pacquiao has given a lot to the sport, and I think that I've always feel that great athletes always have that one final bit of magic left in them. And Errol Spence, the Errol Spence fight has come because it was like a last resort. I mean, there's no secret that Manny Pacquiao has aspirations of being the president of the Philippines. Originally, he was supposed to fight Conor McGregor. That didn't happen. Ryan Garcia, they tried with Terrence Crawford, and Errol Spence was hanging around. You know, it's probably the least in the payday that he's probably going to get, because Errol doesn't have the same magnitude as McGregor and Garcia probably. And he's probably the hardest out of all those fights. So it's going to be a very tall order for Manny Pacquiao, but one that I think that Manny is going to surprise some people. I think he's going to have a good showing August 21st. I don't think he's going to be a walkthrough.
You know, you get beat by punches you don't see. Take it from me. And Manny Pacquiao's left cross is a punch that somehow he's able to hide it. I mean, early on, he was a one-trick pony. All he had was the left cross. I mean, the first time against Barrera and things like that, early in his career, early in his professional run as a champion, 122, 126 pounds. But from that point forward, Freddie Roach sort of developed him into a pretty complete fighter. He's got more than just that that left cross. He's got a decent jab, and of course he doubles up on that, and he hooks as well. So Manny Pacquiao, the complete fighter, against a possibly damaged Errol Spence. Errol Spence, of course, 27-0, 21 KOs. At the end of the day, he still flipped out of that car at 115 miles an hour. I mean, the residual effects, they didn't come to play in his last fight, but I'm telling you, man, I don't know. Danny Garcia is not Manny Pacquiao.
Exactly. Danny Garcia has become the stepping stone for the welterweight division. I mean, he's there. You know he's going to show up. He's going to punch in the clock. But is he really going to go out and try to win the fight? His track record says no. And he had moments that he could have stepped on the gas, and he was just content to go the distance. He fought a safe fight and lost pretty comfortably. Manny Pacquiao is not going to do that. He'll either shock the world or go out face first, like the way he did against Marquez. But if you look at Errol Spence's track record, what's his biggest win? When he first beat Kell Brook had, just like his countryman, Billy Joe Saunders, came off a fractured eye socket. In less than a year, he took that fight. He fought Golovkin in 2016, got busted up, never the same. And then in May of 2017, he gets thrown against Errol Spence in a competitive fight up until a point, and Errol Spence took care of a damaged fighter. Then after that, what's his other big win? Sean Porter. Sean Porter is a very good fighter, but he's not a great fighter by any stretch. And then Chris Algieri, a natural 140-pounder. Errol Spence carried Mikey Garcia, a chubby lightweight, for 12 rounds. I mean, either that fight was fixed, or Errol Spence is not that good. I'm going to jump out the window with that. Mm. You know, he was supposed to annihilate Mikey Garcia. After the second or third round, you saw Mikey Garcia had no business being in that ring, and he went 12 rounds. So that's what gives me the thought that, you know, there's no need to fear for Manny Pacquiao's life in this fight, like some people are probably going to say. And he's going to be a live underdog.
Okay. Speaking of live underdogs and guys getting you to cross the finish line, where's Alex Ariza when Manny Pacquiao needs him? Now, he was suspected of giving Manny suspect milkshakes and all this kind of good stuff. But let's be honest, when he was with Manny, when Manny was with him, he moved up in weight and he was able to beat bigger guys and fights that we sort of like were dismayed by.
Well, Alex Ariza, to my knowledge, has never had a fighter test positive. I mean, he also worked with Amir Khan, and that was Amir Khan's best years with Manny Pacquiao. Were when he was training with Alex Ariza and Freddie Roach. So, listen, he's 42, but he is not the natural. He's not the typical 42-year-old with Xbox in his hand eating donuts. Manny Pacquiao is an athlete, you know, and he's always in shape. It's going to be about 2 years between the Thurman fight and this one coming up. I don't know if they still speak. If they're, you know, I know that when the breakup with Ariza and Freddie Roach happened, Manny was started training with I forget the South African heavyweight. He's got a gym. Help me out. He fought Lennox Lewis back in the day. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I know. Keep going.
Yeah, he was working. Yeah, he was working with him. You know, but I do know that they still are cordial, and I don't know if he's going to be working with Manny in this fight. Ironically, the last time Ariza and Manny were next to each other, Ariza was working with Floyd Mayweather, you know, so when they fought. So I don't know if that's a factor at all, but regardless, Manny's going to definitely have to be in the best shape of his career to pull off a historic upset.
Okay, speaking of Floyd Mayweather, one of his gifted fighters, talk about Tank Davis, Gervonta Davis, 24 and zip, 23 KOs, guy that gets in trouble outside the ring, a tad. Taking on Mario Barrios out of Texas, 26 and zip, 17 wax, the WBA champion at 140. They're going to go down on pay-per-view June 26th. I got to ask you, Davis on pay-per-view and Davis at 140 pounds, two different questions.
We're going to find out. I mean, Tank is very talented. You know, he seems to be his own worst enemy, getting himself in trouble outside the ring. I don't know much about Mr. Barrios, but I know he's the naturally bigger man, and he has a trinket. But it should be a very interesting contest. Tank is fighting a guy that's bigger naturally, but Tank is just a super talent. You know, so I would be shocked if he doesn't beat Barrios.
Okay. Look at the guys from South Africa that Lennox Lewis fought. Franz Botha?
No. What's this guy's name? He trained with Freddie Roach, too.
Zelko Maverick.
Is he South Africa?
Justin Fortune?
There you go. Justin Fortune.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He's
Australian?
Yeah. I don't know. He's come up with some magic shakes, too, hasn't he?
I don't know. I have to do a deep dive with him. But, you know, regardless, his best years were with, you know, when it was Team Ariza and Freddie Roach. Okay. You know, that's without a doubt. I mean, he ran through Miguel Cotto, Ricky Hatton, Margarito, Claudio, Oscar. You know, I mean, he was just historic beatdowns, you know, now. But then again, we're talking about 15 years ago, just about, it seems. Yeah. You know, it was a long, long time ago.
You know, I was with Cotto.
Tremendous wins.
I was with Cotto. I think we were in Cartagena, Colombia, and I had him by a pool. And we sat down, we were talking. I waited like 25, 30 minutes into the conversation before I brought up Manny Pacquiao. I said, man, I said, how did you know, did it blow your mind getting beat up by a smaller guy? Because it would have blown my mind because I couldn't even fathom it, okay? And he looked at me and he goes, yeah. He goes, you know, I've never been hit that hard in my entire life. I mean, whether it was a southpaw stance, the fact that he got hit with punches he didn't see or not, but, you know, Manny Pacquiao said he hit the hardest of anybody.
Well, speed is power, and Manny has some of the fastest hands we've ever seen, you know, and it's he is in the conversation of the all-time greats. That's without a doubt. And it's amazing that at 42 that he's taking this type of challenge while the guy that historically has been his contemporary is fighting YouTubers and MMA guys. And 16-year-old kickboxers from Japan.
You know, I think we can say this. He's the greatest representative of boxing since Muhammad Ali.
I totally co-sign that.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV Sounds, the camera straight up. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tower to the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
We don't back down from nobody.
Hold on.
We can take it in the street if you want to.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
How did I get up from the knockdowns? I don't know.
Tyson Fury, the world linear heavyweight champion, of course, undefeated, having knocked out Mr. Deontay Wilder in the rematch after scoring a somewhat controversial draw the first time around. The bottom line is, an arbitrator has ruled in the past week that these guys must beat in the third fight. Usually, when boxing gets involved in arbitration, it's always non-binding arbitration. That sort of means you could tell an arbitrator to go jump in the lake if you want, okay? But somehow they got into a binding arbitration. Somebody got smart and put binding arbitration in the contract for as far as a third fight was concerned. Of course, they prevailed this week. I'm talking about Team Wilder. And, of course, they will match up against Tyson Fury in the summertime. Of course, on pay-per-view or on DAZN, we haven't figured out where that's going to go. But the bottom line is, this third fight is happening. Now, to expect anything different from Deontay Wilder, the third fight, from the second fight or the first fight, would be a little bit insane, because the bottom line is, he probably lost all but a couple of rounds of the 19 they fought together. That being said, we take it back to the East Coast, and of course, the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD. Sock, binding arbitration. It hasn't prevailed in boxing in a long time. I was trying to think about the last time an arbitration order prevailed as far as a big fight was concerned, because guys are usually able to pay guys off, give them a few million bucks, and they go away.
Right. Yeah. I mean, guys do take that step aside money. And I believe Deontay Wilder was involved with one of those, giving step aside money. I can't remember exactly when. I don't know if it was in the Bremen-Stavern or something like that. But I am with you. I don't think that we're going to see anything different from the previous two fights. I mean, you could definitely make the case that Tyson Fury won both fights, despite the first time not getting the decision. The only reason they fought Tyson Fury the first time was because they thought that he was still a coked up, fat dude with mental health issues, and there was a big surprise waiting. And then when they had the rematch, Tyson Fury gave one of the historic beatdowns in heavyweight history. So I see Deontay Wilder has a new trainer, a buddy of his, Malik Scott, who, by the way, makes Greg Louganis blush with the dive he took in Puerto Rico several years ago.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'm calling this. I mean, that was putrid.
Now, time out. Who did he take the dive? Uh-huh. You're going to talk about him taking an alleged dive. Who did he take the alleged dive against?
The same guy that he's on the internet now holding his pads, Deontay Wilder, Malik Scott, heavyweight from New Jersey, with a very inflated record until he fought somebody, and then he caught a first loss. I think he was Ray Austin. I think he might have fought. Or, anyways, he's getting into Canastota the same way I am, buying a ticket. Anyways, so he fights Deontay Wilder in Puerto Rico on the undercard of Danny Garcia, who Danny got booed out the arena because he got a gift decision against the Mexican fighter. I actually can't remember him, but he took a dive. Most people think, and if that fight happened in the United States in Vegas or whatever, they would have withheld his purse. That was egregious. But anyways, so now he's training Malik Scott is training Deontay Wilder. And after every excuse from Deontay Wilder's camp about the gloves and the suit being too heavy and Mark Breland stopping the fight too soon, and then he gets rid of his coach from the amateurs.
Oh, time out, time out. You forgot about him putting Valiums in the water.
Oh, right. The Valiums in the water. I mean, everything. I mean, it was raining excuses, you know. So now he's training with a friend who's going to keep him in his comfort zone. You know, is he really going to push Deontay Wilder to change anything about him? Come on. I don't see that happening. But the one intangible that he has is a – well, not intangible. The one tangible that he has is a tremendous right hand, but he throws it from Mississippi. And I believe Tyson Fury will see that coming, and that's the only way he's got a shot to beat Fury.
He is the quintessential one-trick pony.
Oh, without a doubt. He is you can make the argument maybe since Primo Carnera. I mean, has there ever been a less skilled heavyweight champion?
Oh, that's,
I can't think of anybody.
Oh my God, man, Deontay Wilder fan club, you're not a president of that one, I can tell. Cool, man, to match him up there with Primo Carnera, of course. Primo is alleged to have gotten to the heavyweight championship by default. In other words, the mob sort of fixed a lot of his fights. So I don't know if that's going to really true or not, but the bottom line is this thing. Anyway, I'll go on. Oh, here's a quick question came in from you. Ask Boxing's PhD what he thinks of Virgil Hunter, the trainer, the guy that worked with Andre Ward, and then I'll jump in. Go on.
Well, Virgil Hunter, I mean, he had a great run with Andre Ward, and I believe he traded Amir Khan for a little bit. He's a cool cat in that corner. You know, he seems like a real teacher. He takes boxing serious. He's not a guy that's going to rah-rah, panic in the corner. He seems like a coach that you need in a big fight. And I believe recently he made some comments that he thinks Andre would have had no problems with Canelo Alvarez if they fought.
Yeah, well, you're talking about a guy that probably, you know, maxed out at one. I mean, was 168 pounder as far as his peak was concerned, against a guy that was probably maybe 150 or 160 pounder. So there were size differences, no doubt about that, and size matters and everything, of course, including pornography and combat sports. Speaking of tonight, size, two guys going at it, same size, 140-pound champions. Talk about Jose Ramirez, 26 and zip. Of course, Josh Taylor, 17 and zip. The UK versus a Mexican-American battling on ESPN, of course, from Las Vegas. What's going to happen here?
Wow. You know, I almost feel sorry for these guys because the last 48 hours of news has kind of put them completely in the back burner, but this is an excellent fight. It's really a pick'em. Josh Taylor, who I thought, you know, had one of the upsets of the year when he beat Regis Prograis to win the tournament, and he's got some pretty good wins. I mean, if you look at his resume, despite only 17 fights, it's a real, real interesting fight. They're both about the same size. I saw that the weigh-in got a little testy. Apparently, Ramirez's manager said some things on the internet. Josh Taylor didn't take too kindly. But Ramirez has probably that X factor, which is the punching power. And he's under the tutelage of one of the best coaches right now, Robert Garcia. And I'm leaning towards Garcia, but it really, I mean, I'm leaning towards Ramirez, but it's really a coin flip of a fight. It should be one for the ages because they both get hit a lot and both throw a lot of punches.
Okay, so and if Tank Davis wins on in June 26th, of course, on pay-per-view against Mr. Barrios, I guess that makes him a player at 140 pounds. But I ask this, are they rushing this fight with Davis at 140 pounds because they think they can't get him down to 130 real quick and they're trying to get a payday in line for possibly jail time or something like that? Or will Floyd buy his way out of this one? Of course, Floyd Mayweather writing the checks for Gervonta Davis. Will he just buy his way out of this, much like John Jones bought his way out of that accident in New Mexico?
Your guess is as good as mine. I don't think that it will say that Gervonta Davis will remain at 140. I think they probably see Barrios as the easiest fight at 140, you know, and I can see Gervonta jumping back down to 135 because he's really short, you know. I mean, I don't think that it would be wise for him to stay at 140 unless completely, you know, they're avoiding Teofimo Lopez, but they're both in like two different worlds. You know, one's okay. PBC, the other one's top rank Triller. So will they ever hook it up? Probably not while they're in their prime.
Short text coming in here for the boxing's PhD. Vasyl Lomachenko. Pedro says he hasn't been seen except on milk cartons lately. Is he going to do something soon? Question mark.
Yes, he's got a good fight coming up against a Japanese fighter. He's
going to have to
be back on his Atani's not a chump, you know. He
knocked out the wife killer.
He did.
The girlfriend killer.
He ended Felix Verdejo's boxing career, you know, more ways than one.
And Felix Verdejo ended his own life.
Yeah.
Because he ain't never getting out. Puerto Ricans want to, Puerto Ricans get serious at the wrestling matches. They think wrestling's real in Puerto Rico, okay? They sort of got the same thing with Mr. Verdejo. They don't want him out, and if he does, they're gonna hurt him.
Yeah, no, I think his safest spot may be in jail, you know, maybe in prison.
In Puerto Rico, but, yes.
Yeah, and truthfully, you know, you hope that he's put under the jail. You know, he's a scumbag.
Bottom line is, I want to mention this real quick before we go. June 13th, of course, the day that Harold Letterman passed, Mr. Espedito Martinez passed on the same day. I just want to mention that. Harold was a class act. I miss him, man. Nobody will ever replace Harold Letterman, will they?
Oh, no. He is synonymous with HBO boxing and one of the nicest men you ever you would have had the pleasure of meeting.
Boxing right, only PhD, Socrates Palmer, live on Sports Byline and WBC Boxing TV. This is Ring Talk.